opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice fills the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson.
And that's what we're going to talk about today. How's everybody doing out there today? This is Terry Raposa, and I'm here with Ashley, our producer.
Good morning.
Flying a little bit solo here today. And Wynn is spending a little family time. He's had a long week helping out with the program at Enterprise High School along with jury duty. So he's spent a little time with his family today, which we all need. And it is the holidays. It is Christmas coming up. And Merry Christmas to everyone. Well, I want to, first of all, do a little housekeeping. Tomorrow night, at 2570 South Bonneview Road. Now, we learned it was South Bonneview last week, even though it runs east and west. So, but it is south because there's a North Bonneview off of East Side Road. So that's why it is South Bonneview. 2570 South Bonneview Road at a church that shall remain nameless. Right, Ashley?
Absolutely.
But there is a church there. We're going to have sort of a Christmas get-together. We have a surprise, and you can't imagine, or you can only imagine, what that surprise is. But it's going to be a wonderful night, just of some celebration and some songs and festivities. We're going to have an ugly sweater contest, which will be kind of fun. And we're going to hear special music from Lady Janet and the Jeffersonettes. Yes, we have our own group, Lady Janet and the Jeffersonettes. And they'll be singing some Jefferson Christmas song, so we're excited about that. It should be a good time for all. You know, no play on Lady Gaga or the other ladies that are out there that have groups. But we're excited to introduce them, and I think it'll be a lot of fun for everybody. So, Ashley, what's new in your life, kiddo?
Not a whole lot. Just
you're writing a book, aren't you?
Well, I have published my first book about a month ago, and now I'm coming back, and I'm getting my second book in the series edited soon.
That's great. Well, we'd like to have you into the Patriot meeting one night and have you chit-chat a little bit about your books, and we're really blessed to have her as our producer here. She's been wonderful. So with that, we'll get right into things, and I wanted to bring up something that's sort of the theme of the program today. You know, our focus seems to be on things that it's difficult to have action on. For example, I was listening to a lot of different talk show radio programs. We talk a lot about what's going on in Washington, D.C., and that's important. What's going on with Obamacare? What's going on with the president? What's going on with all the investigations? Very, very important. But it's going to be a little difficult for us to fly to the Capitol and stand on the steps let everybody know how we feel there in Washington, D.C. Not only that, but there that battle is being fought, and that front is a ways away. We have a battlefront right here in California. And when you look at what's happened to the Republican Party, for example, there are now 11 senators out of the 40 that we have that are Republicans, which means 29 are Democrats. And in the Assembly, there is 19 Republicans, which means that there is 61 Democrats. Now, those odds don't look too good for the Republican Party. On top of that, we have Gavin Newsom and Becerra and Padilla and the whole cast of characters running all the way through Attorney General, Secretary of State, and, of course, Governor. So as we look at that, where do we draw the line, and how do we fight this thing, and how do we do something meaningful as far as action goes? And I want to talk about that today. Mark Baird will be calling in here in a little bit, and as most of you know or have heard that listen to this program, Mark has is in the process of filing a TRO, a temporary restraining order, injunction against the state of California so that they have to adhere to the Young versus Hawaii Second Amendment case. And, of course, what the Supreme Court has ruled on that is that open carry of a loaded weapon is the only protected right, which now we know that concealed carry, well, it's never been a right, But now it truly, if you didn't know that, we have two court cases, the Supreme Court case, and also we have the Ninth Circuit that agrees with the Supreme Court that concealed carry is a privilege, and it's which means the sheriff, if you get a new sheriff, we have a pretty good one here on concealed carry, but if we get a new sheriff, he can certainly change his mind, and he certainly can decide not to issue CCWs. And, you know, Mark has mentioned before, and maybe he'll elaborate on that, I'll ask him to elaborate on it, he's mentioned before how there is a possibility that Gavin Newsom could take that privilege we have and turn it over to the Attorney General's office and say, yeah, you know, I don't really know if we want to have that anymore. And also, as far as open carry, I'm sure that the legislative body, in the numbers I just described, would be very happy when the injunction is successful and when the temporary restraining order happens and when we win this case and when the courts have to comply with the Supreme Court and the Ninth Circuit's opinions, then we'll see what the legislative body does, which will probably be trying to make it as hard as possible for the open carry issue. So where do we draw the line? We can stand up against this. We can help Mark fight this case. We can all get into it. We can go, you know, we actually do have the ability to go to Sacramento. Maybe I'll show up with constitutions in our holsters, open carry constitutions. But, you know, I mean, there has to be some things that we can do locally. And so much focus is on what's happening federally. We forget all about the fact that we're having our very rights taken away right here in California. So right now we've got, we've got a couple people on the line here. We've got Matt, first of all. Matt, how you doing? Do we have Matt? Oh, I guess we don't have Matt yet.
Can you hear me?
Oh, there you are, Matt. Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
The problem for the Republican Party is they're do nothing but lip service. You know, I'm a conservative, and I consider myself a liberal. I want freedom. I don't want more government from one side or the other, and Republicans in California don't represent anything besides lip service. I've spoke to our representatives long before I participated with the State of Jefferson movement, and it's abundantly clear that their only concern is maintaining the status quo. There's a video on YouTube you can find of a cartoon from the early 30s, I think it was. It talks about how when communism and collectivism seize control of your government, that the politicians just become bobbleheads, basically. Everything's fine. They don't represent us anymore. So I want to leave this message for the State of Jefferson folks. Are you ready to abolish this government? You have a good day.
Well, thanks, Matt. Maybe you can get some folks going on that, buddy. Since you had the idea, you can probably get some folks stirred up on that. And I don't know if we can abolish the government. I think what we need to do is get back to the Constitution. And talking about getting back to the Constitution, Mark Baird, are you there, Kemosabe?
Yeah, I'm here, Terry. How you doing this morning?
I'm doing all right. You know, it's raining outside, and, you know, the weather outside is frightful, but I'm sitting here where it's nice and warm, and it's delightful. I guess it's
Yeah, me too. I am in God's country. I'm looking out across the valley at the snow on the mountains and the pine trees, a little bit of rain, a little bit of wind, and it's funny because the rain makes all this country work. We've got to have the water, and we're just blessed to have it.
You know, I think that Matt sort of, you know, you can, I mean, he's angry. And, well, who isn't angry? I mean, and disappointed in what's happened with the Republican Party. And, you know, they don't really any longer even adhere to their own values, their own platform. It's you know, we say one thing, we do another. I mean, it's been horrible. The one thing I want to ask you about, though, is, you know, getting into what we're doing here with this court case and the importance. I mean, I think that people really have to grab on to the importance of the Second Amendment. It really does protect the rest. And I'd like you to elaborate on that, but also elaborate on what you're doing as far as going forth on this case and what people can do.
Well, I want to start with another case first, because this lays the foundation for the Second Amendment. We have a case, CFR versus Padilla, and that is the case brought essentially by the people of Jefferson and plaintiffs that are not within Jefferson. We have plaintiffs from Southern California. The California Constitution was written in a way, the 1879 Constitution was written in a way to get rid of the Chinese, basically. In fact, its theme was the Chinese must go. Article 19 was it's a felony to hire a Chinese person. It was such a unadulterated piece of garbage that it's hard to imagine that, in fact, people today wouldn't have voted for it. But people then did, and that's all history. But the point of the matter was the representation in the state of California was capped in order to prevent certain groups of people from gaining access to political power and being properly represented. Now, that group was specifically the Chinese, among others. But here's the problem with that kind of discriminatory behavior on the part of the ruling elite, and that's what those guys were. They were the ruling elite of California, and they decided that they would form an oligarchy and a monarchy in order to prevent certain people from having any access to political representation. And here's the problem with that. The pendulum is always swinging. What was used to target Chinese people is now being used to target you. And that's just the truth. With a representative ratio of 1 million people per state senator, you do not have access to political power. You cannot influence events. You cannot contact a representative and hope to get redress for your grievance. In fact, hundreds of you can't. Thousands of you can't. At 1 million per state senator, it is the money that runs the show. At 500,000 per assemblyman, at geographic areas so large that representatives have to decide to fail to represent parts of their district in order to represent other parts because they want different things. For example, when Jim Nielsen was a state senator up here in District 1, he voted for the water bond, and the people of our county voted no for the water bond because we knew that part of the money from the water bond would be used to tear out four perfectly good, fully functional, perfectly maintained hydroelectric and water storage facilities on the Klamath River. Water that means a lot to us. It's water used for firefighting. It's flood control. It's the cleanest, cheapest, greenest electricity on the planet because all it needs is gravity. And yet our state senator voted to rip those dams out so that he could get money for Westlands Water and the moneyed irrigation interests down below. And, you know, I remember asking him, I said, don't do this. What you're doing is you are saying to the farmers of my area that we must become the enemies of other farmers in the state of California because of this bad water deal you're going to sign on to. And, you know, he had some excuse, and he voted for it, and sure enough, none of the $8 billion went to do anything about water. None of it. It all got spent on environmental groups and BS projects the governor had, and those projects then turn around and contribute to Democratic election campaigns. So what we did was we funded our own destruction. And now that same senator represents a different district, and he voted yes on the next water bond. And it did nothing to restore water in California or to increase water storage. It simply funds, in a roundabout way, it funds Democratic election campaigns. So we sued the government, and the judge says to us, and remember, there are only three ways to exercise your First Amendment rights. Well, actually, there are four, and I'm going to cover that. The first method is petition the legislature. You have the right to petition the government for redress of grievance. So we petitioned the legislature with 23 county declarations to get away from California, tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of emails, tens of thousands of phone calls. We had a program going for better than a year where some people were calling every legislator in Sacramento every single day, and not one single one of them even returned a phone call to get a fair hearing of what we wanted or why we wanted it. Not one. Not even supposedly the ones that are our own, because we scared them. the people wanted something from them, and that scares the heck out of them. They're used to telling you what you want and telling you what you're going to get. So then we petitioned the executive branch, the second branch of government. We made an appointment with Governor Brown, a duly recognized appointment. In fact, they set the time and the date, and we set a rally around that time and date so that people would show up and we could go to the governor's office and give him a Jefferson Declaration and a copy of the lawsuit so that he would know what we're doing and why we're doing it, and he would have a chance to personally weigh in on it. So we get there at the appointed time and date. And remember, he set the time and he set the date. And we're standing outside his office, and some poor grunt keeps going back in and coming out and going back in and coming out. And finally, the guy says to us, and this is a direct quote, "No one is available to take your information, not because they're busy doing important stuff today." So the governor basically insulted us very publicly, and I think he knew what he was doing. Jerry Brown's kind of a fool, but he's not stupid. And so then we go to the judicial, and we file a lawsuit for lack of representation and dilution of vote. We filed the lawsuit in court with a judge named Kimberly Mueller, who was a former Sacramento City Councilwoman. She stepped aside so that her Democratic operative buddy, Daryl Steinberg, could get the job. He's then become, he was Senate pro tem in California. Then he goes to play musical chairs with the politics. She steps aside so he can get a job at the city council. Then he gets elected mayor of San Francisco, and now he's involved in all kinds of bamboozle arena projects and big money stuff that he's going to end up rich from. And then Mueller, for her trouble, because she stepped aside for him, she gets an appointment to a federal judgeship by another Democratic President Obama. Gosh, you'll figure that. How does that work? So then anyway, we file our lawsuit in front of the Democratic operative Karen Mueller. And she's not a judge, in my opinion. She's a criminal and a liar, but anyway. And she says to us repeatedly, "You do not deserve a day in court because everything you're saying is true. You don't have any representation. It is a serious political question." But, well, first, let me go back a little bit. First, when we present the case, we present it in such a way with a legal plan that we could go from Judge Mueller straight to the United States Supreme Court, because we knew we'd never get justice from a local federal judge, Democratic operatives, every single one of them. And the way we did that was with Title 28, Section 2284, which says the result of any opinion from a three-judge court, primary jurisdiction for the appeal is the United States Supreme Court. And we have another Supreme Court case, Shapiro v. McManus, that tells the judge that any apportionment case, either state or federal, she has the duty to call for a three-judge court, because no single judge can be trusted with something as precious as the vote of the people. So Judge Mueller at first does that. She calls for the three-judge court. And then very oddly and very suspiciously, 1 week later, she changed her mind. That's never been done in a case in United States history where under United States Code and Supreme Court directive, a judge calls for a three-judge court and then changes their mind later, a do-over. Oh, I take it back. I was wrong the first
silly
time
me.
I read
yeah.
the case. I was wrong the first time I read the case. I must have had a fever. And now the truth has struck me, and I'm going to take that back, because you don't deserve a day in court. And the reason you don't deserve it is because everything you're saying is true, but since all of the people of California are equally screwed by lack of representation, there's nothing I can do about it. Well, first of all, we weren't asking her to do anything about it. We were asking her to appoint a three-judge court and have them decide what should be done about it. But anyway, so she bamboozled us out of the three-judge court because she's a liar and a Democratic Party operative. And then that's been going on for a year. And, they also know they can outspend you because they know that their time in court is fully paid and they're getting federal retirement and medical benefits that you don't get because they were exempt from Obamacare. But they're getting lots of perks you don't get, but they're just doing their job. They get paid. You have to take off work to go to court. You have to raise money. You have to find lawyers. You have to do all the work. they do nothing but sit there and get paid to send you packing without justice.
By us.
So, yeah. So finally, she tells us again, we do not, the people of the state of California who formed this government to protect their liberty do not even deserve a by your leave or a single day in court in order to explain what it is we want and why we want it. So now we have, we're going to file a notice of appeal. We have, I think, till the end of the month to file that with the Ninth Circuit. And we're going to file that notice of appeal. Judge Mueller, as she calls herself, I don't call her a judge, but she made some very serious mistakes in the trial proceeding, and those are well publicized. I'm not going to go over them again. But we think we have a reasonable chance at an appeal, and nevertheless, whether we have a chance or not, what are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to drop down to our knees, face Sacramento, and bow to the fact that the people who formed this state have absolutely no say whatsoever in how it's run? Is that what we're supposed to do because we lost? We say no. We have to fight this. We don't have any choice but to fight it, because to admit defeat now is to admit that we are subjects of our masters in Sacramento, and we are, in fact, dogs chained to our master's table. So we will fight this. Now that brings us to the next action.
Mark, before you go into number four, we're probably going to have to take a break here, buddy, before you go into number four. But I do want to mention that the point Mark is bringing up, too, when he is the taxpayer. All of us pay these judges, and we pay for a case like this, plus we pay to bring it to court. So we're sort of being – we're paying twice. And, you know, when the taxpayer's money is used for things that are – not justice, things that are, well, are, I mean, borderline criminal, those types of things, that money comes from all of us. There is, you know, and to me that's such a travesty. It's a good point you make, my friend, when you talk about how we have to spend money to go to court to have our voice in a government that was created by us. It's we the people, and we have to pay to go to court, have our voices heard, and we pay the people who are fighting against us. It's just, it's a, system's a mess. Anyway, with that, my good friend, hold on through the break here. Time has come for 51.
Evening has been hoping that you drop
so
in.
So very nice.
I'll hold your hands. They're just like ice.
My mother will start to worry.
Beautiful, what's your
my
hurry?
My father will be pacing the floor.
Listen to the fireplace
so
roar.
So really, I'd better scurry.
Beautiful, please don't
well,
hurry.
Well, maybe just a half a drink more.
Put some records on while I fall.
The neighbors might
but maybe it's bad out there.
Say, what's in this
no
drink?
No cabs to be had out there.
I wish I knew how.
Your eyes are like stars
to
right
break
now.
This spell.
I'll take your hat. Your hair looks swell.
I ought to say no, no, no,
mind
sir.
If I move any closer?
At least I'm going to say that I tried.
What's the sense of hurting my pride?
I really can't
oh, baby,
say.
Don't hold out, baby.
Oh,
it's cold outside.
When I turned 18, I couldn't wait to vote. After all, voting is a privilege for all Americans, right? Then I did the math. Did you know that the northern third of California only has 3 out of 80 seats in the Assembly and 3 out of 40 seats in the Senate? Northern California has no representation, and my vote doesn't count. Splitting from California and forming the state of Jefferson is the only remedy. Please visit SOJ51.net for more information. Please donate now to help restore representation.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank. Consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and, of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, Professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is a place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
Did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? Child that you delivered will soon deliver.
Boy, if you don't get goosebumps over that one, you're not alive. You know, that's an absolutely beautiful song about our Savior and about what Christmas is about. Great song to Mary. 15 million views. So actually, Mark, I know we've talked about this before, all these YouTube goofy things that get millions of views. This song and this video has 15 million, which is a good thing. Now, Bob, I know you're on the line. We're flowing into number four. Do you have something real quick for us, buddy?
Well, yeah. I know we're going to lead into the Second Amendment. If I remember right, the Second Amendment used to be our First Amendment until they decided freedom of speech was more important than being able to carry our gun. But now we have a senator from California, Lou, who's a Chinese person, and he does not believe in our First Amendment rights of free speech, and he'd like to stop it. And the thing is, if we lose the Second Amendment, we're going to lose all the rest of the amendments we have to the Constitution. So we had better keep the Second Amendment. I'll take my answer up here. You guys have a Merry Christmas. Thank you.
Thanks, Round Mountain. Mark, anyway, you were going to elaborate on the fourth thing we can do, sir.
Well, let me respond to Bob first.
Yeah.
The first thing I want to say is that whether we keep the Second Amendment or not is up to you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not up to any one of us. It's up to you. And it's up to your participation in the efforts that people are trying to undertake. And if you don't agree with those or don't think they're satisfactory, then it's up to you to do something about that. And that brings me to the Second Amendment and the opportunity that I discovered, not by accident, because not by accident, because I was searching. I actively searched these things. And by the way, the Second Amendment was never the first. It was in Articles 1 through 12, which was the Bill of Rights before it became the Bill of Rights. The Second Amendment was Article the Fourth. And because some of the articles reportedly did not make it to the Bill of Rights, specifically
mm-hmm.
Article the First,
mm-hmm.
Which was a minimum number of representatives
mm-hmm.
in Congress per
mm-hmm.
per people. And the second was you could not change the compensation of senators and so on during the period of their service. So, and then Article the Third was freedom of speech, religion, and so on. And Article the Fourth was the right to keep and bear arms. So, well, that's not true, but it is now the Second Amendment, and the First Amendment is considered the most important, and the Second Amendment is considered the second most because it protects all the rest of the amendments, including the first.
Mm-hmm.
So what I discovered was an opportunity. I was reading cases, as I do. Some people read magazines. Some people watch cartoons. I read legal cases, looking for opportunity, I guess. And an opportunity struck me through a guy named George Young. And George had requested a carry permit from the county of Hawaii, which includes the Big Island. And he was denied a concealed carry permit. So he then requested an open carry permit. And this is a really great story, but we don't really have time for it. So I'd be glad to tell it at the dinner on the 12th in Wairika. He requested an open carry permit, and he was told that because he wasn't a peace officer or an armed guard, a trained armed security guard, they couldn't have one. Well, George got upset with that. He thought there was a Second Amendment problem there, so he sued, and he won. In the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, led by Judge O'Scanlan, and another constitutional judge, and the third was dissenting. It was a 2-1 verdict. And it's kind of funny because now the state of Hawaii and the state of California says a marginally split decision. Well, when you have a 3-judge court, if one judge dissents, that's a split decision, but it's not marginally split. Anyway, I thought that part was funny. So George wins in the Ninth Circuit Court, and here's what they found. They found that open carry is the core right of the Second Amendment, and that it extends in public beyond the boundary of your home, and that it applies to individuals unconnected with militia service. And that is specifically the right to carry an operable and loaded weapon in defense of yourself, your family, and your community. So the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals says open carry is the right protected by the Second Amendment, and they cite a lot of cases, and I get into those repeatedly. See if you can go online and watch the YouTube thing from Anderson, and you can hear the whole story, because once again, it's just too long for a radio show. And so then I kept going, and I discovered the fact that there was another case called Chambers versus United States. And that case says that any opinion, any decision issuing from the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals is binding on all judges in the Ninth Circuit. And by the way, then there's a third case called Peruta v. San Diego. And Peruta v. Mm-hmm. San Diego says that concealed carry is not a right.
Mm-hmm.
It falls wholly outside the Constitution. States may permit it, ban it, regulate it, do whatever they want. They can issue a permit or not issue a permit. And because concealed carry is not a constitutionally protected activity, it's legal. So in California, we have three penal codes. They're in the 26,000 codes, and one of them says it is illegal to openly carry a loaded handgun. One of them says it is illegal to openly carry an unloaded handgun. And the third says it is illegal to openly carry an unloaded weapon that is not a handgun. So California has a legal ban on the open carry of a loaded weapon. Well, the Ninth Circuit Court says that is a right protected by the Second Amendment, and the Chambers case says it applies to every judge in the Ninth Circuit. So why aren't we allowed to open carry in California? The Ninth Circuit said so. The court also said that it applies to California. Well, because you cannot force a state to stop enforcing unconstitutional laws unless you sue them. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to court, and I'm going to ask for a restraining order, and that restraining order will enjoin or ban the state of California from enforcing the prohibition on carrying an open and loaded weapon for self-defense.
You know, this is something that I believe we can win. And I know we're having a dinner and a fundraiser for the case, and this is going to be in Wairika. Can you tell the folks when that is, where it is, and the times and the details of the event?
Yeah, we have retained an attorney, my wife and I, and a very sharp attorney. And once again, that's too long a story. And the attorney doesn't want the name mentioned because they're not a publicity hound. They want to just put their head down and win this case. So at some point, the attorney's name will become public. Once we file, it's public record. But for now, the attorney doesn't want to be named. They want to be free to get to work. So we have a dinner and a fundraiser on January the 12th in Wairika, California at the Miners Inn. Yes, that's a poll for some of you people. But remember, on Christmas Day in 1775, George Washington walked out into the snow with his men, a third of whom did not even have shoes on, and they walked up and crossed a wind-blown, ice-choked river, marched 9 miles through freezing rain, sleet, snow, wind, soaked to the bone, and a third of them didn't even have shoes. And they beat the Hessian mercenaries at Trenton. And then, because they were afraid of the proximity of a large British army, they walked 9 miles back to where they crossed, recrossed the river, and walked back to their camp with their prisoners. So, yeah, Yreka is about an hour and a half drive in a heated car. And you probably have a heated windshield and windshield wipers, and you can bring a cup of coffee with you and snacks and everything. It doesn't really seem so far when you talk about the sacrifices people have made to build this country. And the dinner is the 12th at the Miners Inn, 112 Main Street in Yreka, and it is a Second Amendment fundraiser. And by the way, this is not going to be a torturous affair. We have a prime rib dinner with twice-baked potatoes, a full bar. It's on hotel grounds, so you can book a room in case you want to have a few drinks. You can just walk to your room and go home in the morning. We're going to raffle off a bunch of guns and auction off some cool stuff. And all of the money, all of the proceeds will go to the legal fund to win this case. There is no paid staff. No one's making any money off of this except the attorney, and they have to eat too. And besides that, great talent costs a little bit of money. And if you can come to this, please do. The phone number for tickets is 227-6729 or 227-6728. We have business tables available for $400. Individual tickets are $50. Please bring your checkbook. Please bid on stuff. Have a good time. Contribute money to secure your own right to defense of self, family, and community. That's what this is about. It is no less than your right to hold off a tyrannical government from invading your home and taking everything you have. And if you doubt that this is possible, look at Venezuela. As late as 2012, individuals were allowed to own guns. Now they're not. And guess what the government's doing to them? So if you want to ask yourself a question, ask yourself, do I live in a constitutional republic or do I live in a dictatorship? And here's the difference. In a constitutional republic, you are a free man, free to defend yourself, your family, your community, your state, and your nation through whatever means you have available, no matter how many rounds you want to put in your magazine. And in a dictatorship, you wake up in the morning and you ask yourself, what is the government going to do to me today? What do you live in California? That's an important question that every single one of you needs to answer.
You know, and I think that we need to start focusing on what's around us. Again, we opened up the program by discussing the fact that so many people and a lot of radio programs focus on what's happening federally. That is important, and it's good knowledge to have, and we need to be educated on that. But when it comes to action, there's not a whole bunch of us that can go to the Capitol in Washington, D.C., and stand out there and let our wishes be heard. But we can go to the Capitol. People need to start going down to the Capitol, walking in those doors, banging on the senators' doors, banging on the assemblyman doors, and demanding our liberty, demanding that they follow the law, demanding that they don't pass taxes on us. I mean, at what particular point are we going to stand up? We need to go to these rallies. We need to go to these fundraisers. And again, that phone number for the fundraiser is 530-227-6729, 530-227-6729, and 530-227-6728, 530-227-6728. With that, my good friend, if you could hang on, we've got to go to our next break. So time has come for 51.
Is before me. only imagine. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in all you be still? Will I stand in your presence? To my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only
Did you know that Article 4, Section 3 of the U.S. Constitution lays out the framework for the state of Jefferson's plan to split California? A state can be formed from the land within another state if the state legislature and Congress approve it with a simple majority vote. 51% is all it takes. Your vote doesn't count in Northern California. California is broken and the time has come for 51. Please visit SOJ51.net and donate now to show your support.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kara Tennant with CARE Animal Hospital, and I'm inviting you to join me on the Carl and Linda Morning Show. We will be discussing all of Reading's local pet needs and how to keep your pet happy, healthy, and safe. CARE Animal Hospital is a local veterinary clinic located on the corner of Hilltop Drive and Lake Boulevard. Make sure your best friend has the best possible care today.
Join Dr. Kara Tennant the third Friday of each month in the 8 a.m. hour here on locally owned KCNR.
Wells Fargo Advisors would like to say thank you to our many veterans this holiday season. This is Susan Eastman, financial advisor of our local Reading office. From the bottom of my heart, I want to say thank you to veterans of our military services who have put their lives on the line to protect the freedom we all enjoy. These patriots have accepted the responsibility to defend America and uphold our values, and for this, I am deeply grateful. I wish each and every veteran a safe return home, and we promise to give you our deepest support, honor, and praise.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Yes, Ashley and I are in here lip syncing.
See, I play the bassoon, and so I know all the bass parts.
Oh, nice.
I don't know any of the alto, which is my vocal range.
Nice. Well, we're back here at Jefferson State of Mind. If you have a question or a comment, 605-4567, 605-4567. With that, Kemosabe, I'm going to move over here to Jack. Jack has a question for us. Jack, how you doing, buddy?
Pretty good, Terry and Bart. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Sit out in the duck blind listening to you guys. Hey, you know, one thing we never bring up, and I think we should point out to people, is we were unfairly taxed with the fire tax.
Yes.
Hundreds of millions of dollars was spent by our community to protect us, and none of that money made it out to help us. And I think part of the problem we're, you know, had in Butte County, Shasta, Tama, all those, is because the money that was taken from us was never used for what it was supposed to be.
Yeah, that's a good point, Jack. I mean, you're absolutely right. It was used for brochures. It was used to basically to the general fund. In fact, if I recall correctly, well over 60% of it was sent to the general fund to be used for whatever they wanted to use it for. But you're right. There wasn't a single penny spent on a firefighter, on a fire truck, on a fire hose, nothing.
Well, I'll go even further than that. That was a law passed by a Los Angeles state senator, and that tax was imposed on people who did not vote for that state senator. So here is taxation without representation. Mm-hmm. How easy is it for you as a legislator to pass taxes in your district that your people don't have to pay? You could do that all day, every day. Don't worry, folks. You don't have to pay this. This is a tax for other people. Oh, and by the way, when we tried to email and call that legislator, the ping back is, well, you're not in my district, and I don't represent you, so call your own guy. And when you try to explain to the desk person, well, my own guy is opposed to this, and he's not the one that's enacting this bill over all Californians, oh, well, I'm just really sorry that you'll have to go through your own representative.
Yeah, I can attest to that personally. I had that happen to me. You know, I mean, it's a travesty, Jack. I mean, the whole thing is that we've got to stand up. And, you know.
It's not a travesty, it's tyranny.
Well, it's tyranny. It is. You're right, it's tyranny. You know, point being is that we have to take that stand now. We've got to start standing. And I know that there's a radio program on K-High, which starts at 10 o'clock, a Jefferson radio program. It'd be great if those guys would go into this sort of stuff. We need to really start focusing on the fact of what we can do and how we need to fight the tyranny. Anyway, Jack, do you have anything else, buddy?
No, that's it. Merry Christmas to you guys, and God bless you. Talk to you later.
God bless you, too, and Merry Christmas, my friend. So, Mark, you know, Jack makes a good point. It's just one of the many, many outrageous tyrannical taxes that we get constantly from the state of California. And it's one of those things. We have to start focusing, and I mean a lot of the local programs have to start focusing more on what's going on locally in our own backyard. And as people say, as California goes, so does the rest of the United States. You know, we have tyranny, out and out tyranny here, and it's going to get worse. We ain't seen nothing yet. I mean, with Gavin Newsom coming on here, we ain't seen nothing yet. What say you, my friend?
Well, it's true, but, you know, here's the good news. We can fix this. We are the people, described in Article 2, Section 1 of our own Constitution. I'll look that up on the Internet if you don't know what it is. We have all the power. We've always had it. We're starting to use it. We're trying to teach other people how to help us use it or use it themselves. You know, we don't. But here's another significant statistic. There are 8 million gun owners in California, 8 million. And by their very nature, in order to be a gun owner, you have to be of voting age, of good moral character. You can't be a felon, so on and so forth. So every single gun owner could vote. They're not barred from voting by any statute or any limitation except not being registered or not being energetic enough to get off the couch on election day. If every gun owner and every conservative Christian would just vote, and vote for constitutional candidates with constitutional bent and mettle, we could take this state back at the very next election. That's the good news. We have the power to fix this. And the fact that there are 8 million gun owners who are too lazy to go vote is really the travesty, not the fact that we don't have the power, because we do. It is the fact that we have the power, and for some reason, some people won't use it. That's the travesty, but we can fix that, too.
Mm-hmm. Terry G. from El Dorado. How you doing, Terry?
Hi. Good morning. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
So I thought it was appropriate that I call in and let you know that what you're talking about is befitting today because it's the anniversary of the Boston Tea Party. And I was hoping, really, that they go ahead and pass this tax for texting because I think that's just one more thing that we can get out to the public, and particularly to younger people, about that tax leading to another tax and so on and so on. But one of the things, and in listening to what Matt had to say about, you know, our representatives not doing enough, but it's us also. And I don't think we take the responsibility, too many of us, to be out there just every day letting people know what's coming down the pike. And one example, well, I have two. Number one, cap and trade kicks in next year, in 2020. And we're looking at gas increases of around 75 cents per gallon. The other thing people are totally unaware of and not thinking about is in 2022, when the water rationing begins, and to give us 55 gallons per person. And a friend of mine brought up the fact that water districts, I don't even think water boards are not considering how they're going to monitor that. Because what he feels we might be looking at is smart meters for water, because what they don't, the meters we have now don't measure by gallons. They measure by cubic feet.
Right, Terry, we've only got 4 minutes, hon.
Okay. So anyway, I contacted one of the board members, and I said, have you given any thought to how you're going to handle this? Because also, we don't have, there's nothing laid out yet as how they're going to monitor that use outside or wells. And I understand there is a bill that had been approved many years ago, a couple of years ago, and I think one of the authors was Brian Dolly, that kind of laid out that mechanism. So we need to be talking
right.
that up, because
mm-hmm.
people aren't aware
right.
what's coming down the pipe.
Right.
More gas taxes, et
right.
cetera, et cetera.
I think that people are aware. I just think that they just sort of throw their hands up and want to move to Idaho, number one. And number two...
Well, no, Terry, because what I found during the campaign in phone banking
mm-hmm.
and the
mm-hmm.
people coming into our headquarters, that was not the case.
They didn't have a clue.
They did not have a clue.
Gotcha. Okay, good. That's good to know. Now, as far as Brian Dolly goes, Terry, you're absolutely right, hon. When he was in Palisadro a couple of years ago at a town hall, he said, well, yeah, I'd be the first one to line up to have a meter on my well. I mean, you know, and this guy's running for senator, state senator in a special election. He's running for state senator on the Republican ticket. And his claim to fame is that the Democrats love him. I mean, really and truly, as we look at this, and really, you know, my only question is, with 11 senators, okay, and we still would have 11 out of 40, and one of them now would be maybe a little, he crosses, he agrees with the Democrats and works stuff out with the Democrats, and he's able to do some things, according to him. And in doing those things, what that does is it creates an environment of compromising with Democrats, which usually means that you will do as I ask you to do, and that's our compromise. But you know, the whole thing is that you're right. A lot of people aren't informed. But, you know, Terry, you can't – we try to do that. We do it with radio programs. You do it with The Messenger. We do it on Jefferson. We do it – people are informed. But the problem is that they get informed with all this stuff going on federally, and a lot of people don't know what's going on in their own state. And I think
that's my point.
Yeah, and you're right. You're right. You're right.
We've got to do a better job of – and not just people, not just Jefferson.
Right.
But we've got to reach further
right.
and align ourselves with even others that are of the same mindset.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree with you more. Okay, my
and
dear.
And that representation message, like you said, nothing's going to change until we change that. And
absolutely.
Fortunately, we have some legislators that are recognizing that. And not that they're going to, you know, solve the problem, but
right.
at least they're talking about it in
right.
an agreement. So anyway, that's all I had today.
Great.
But remember that after the first of the year, we're going to start really
maybe
building
could,
our base up.
Maybe
and
you could call
out
into
there and
okay. Maybe you can call
messengers.
In. Maybe you can call into K-High. And
yeah,
pass
yeah,
along
right.
the same
I
thing you just
hearing.
Did. Anyway, so, yeah.
Okay, thank you, guys.
All right, my
have
dear.
A good day.
Mark,
Merry Christmas.
You have one more minute, my good friend. What do you got for us?
Fight. You know, we have the opportunity. We can win this. Please support this Second Amendment. It is a case we can win, and we can demonstrate that we can win, and then we can turn to the rest of California and say, you're welcome for a piece of your liberty back from the state of Jefferson, and if you will help us,
we can get the rest of it back. This is not a story of woe. This is a story of victory and winning,
mm-hmm.
and a fight that can be won. And the time has come for 51, but let's start with something that we can do. Let's start locally. Let's start by getting our Second Amendment rights back, and then help us fight that case in the Ninth Circuit.